We're reading chapter 5 of Ephesians. So settle down, take our Bibles. We have a long passage today that will deal with men. We finally come to not only men, not only Christian men, but we come to husbands, and not just any husband, but Christian husbands. This is the text for us. And the illustration that Paul will give us here is how we are to treat our wives. And the comparison is the comparison between Jesus Christ and His church and how Jesus treats the church. So beginning with chapter 5 of Ephesians, please note that in the last few weeks we've looked at the fact that Paul, speaking to wives, verse 22, has one verse for the wives, one wife verse, and then two verses of explanation. Very simple command. Wives, submit to your husbands as if you're submitting to Jesus Christ, with verse 23 and 24 explanation. Today, the text for husbands begins at verse 25 and goes all the way to verse 33. So the Apostle Paul has a very long passage for us, and we'll just look at one verse today, verse 25. And as we read it, let's read this whole passage. Husbands. He's talking to Christian husbands here. He's talking to believers, members of the church at Ephesus. Paul says, love your wives, just as Jesus Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her in order that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, so that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and without blemish. And so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, because no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. And so we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother, and he will be joined to his wife, and the two of them will become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. We return after some time today to our study in Ephesus. And the subject we've been talking about is our mutual, I emphasize this word, our mutual, our joint submission to one another, as Paul says, in the fear of the Lord, with respect to who the Lord is and should be in our life, as Lord and Master of our life. It's only possible to submit to each other, as we've already noted many times, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is given to us at the moment of salvation. Every believer, every Christian has the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit comforts us. The Holy Spirit instructs us and leads us. The Holy Spirit gives us power to live a godly life in accordance to the Word of God. But besides receiving the Holy Spirit at the moment of our salvation, Scripture teaches us in chapter 5, verse 17 and 18 here, that it is God's will for us to know God's will, and we come to know it when we continuously become refilled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes and does that as we study the Word of God. When the Word of God fills our mind and our heart and our life, the Holy Spirit begins to empower us and to give us the power that Paul in chapter 4, verse 1, when we began this whole section of how we are to live, Paul says, walk worthy. We can only do that when we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that God graciously, in other words, freely, for free, gives to us. You know, if you had all the power in the world to light up every house in the world, or if you owned all of the oil in the world, so you could fill up every gas tank that there is out there with fuel, and every airplane, and every locomotive and diesel. If you had that power and you didn't use it, what good would it do? You have no power unless you use it. And God gives us this power at our disposal so that we can use it to live according to how God wants us to do. And so the comparison and the picture and the illustration The contrast we have here today about husbands and wives submitting to one another is a picture of the church. It's a picture of us. Look at the person sitting next to you. That's who Jesus wants to talk to us about today. Look at the couples that we have here today. Look at marriages. In our last couple of studies, we discussed the role of the wife in following the spiritual leadership lovingly, obediently, submissively for the glory of God. And as I already said, that Paul devotes one verse to this. The rest of the chapter, Paul talks to us guys, us men, especially those of you that are married and have a wife. Now, previous to this, when Paul spoke to wives, he says, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. And the analogy and the picture he uses is the picture of a body. He also compares it to the church. Who is in charge of the church? I think we all know the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And the word Lord implies being in charge. On Thursday night, we're going over the parable. Pastor was leading us in a parable about the landowner that went out into the marketplace and he hired people to come and work for him. He was the boss. He was the Lord. And he could determine what he wanted to pay the people that worked for him. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And the picture is just as Jesus Christ is head of the church, in charge, ahead of the rest of us. When we talk about our body, and elsewhere in Corinthians, Paul talks about the body following the leadership of what part of our body? The head. Not because the head is on top, although that's part of it. God was wise when he put the head on top of our shoulders, right? Broad shoulders to carry on. But our hands, our feet, our internal organs, our blood circulation, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, David writes in Psalm 139, right? God created us. But we follow the command of what our brain tells us, the head that's in charge of the body. And in the very same way, Jesus Christ is in charge of his church. And he presides. I like that word, preside. That means he rules over. He is Lord. He's master. He dictates. He leads. He presides over his church, which means he is in control. And so just as Jesus Christ is in charge of the church, the head of the church, and the church subjects itself willingly, obediently, and lovingly to our Savior who gave himself for us and is qualified to be our Lord, in the very same way the wife submits to her husband in the God-ordained role to be her head. I was asked this week at the office, how long have you been married, George? I said, 34 years. And the person that asked me the question sat there for a moment and goes, wow. I go, why do you say wow? What's so unusual about that? He says, what's so unusual is that nobody stays married that long. And I said, well, no, my goal is at least this many more years. He says, wow. Okay. Ladies, men, when you talk about your marriage and your relationship and your mutual submission to each other, is it in English, wow, or is it in Russian, oi? Do you follow the trend? Okay, we get a lot of smiles out of this. Our society, over 50% divorces, and over 50% of the divorced people get remarried within 1 year. And about 90% of those second marriages end in divorce. And then many of those people go on to a third and fourth and fifth marriage. What does this tell us about marriage? It tells us that although marriages are falling apart, and they're falling apart because people aren't living according to the standard of God, but still there's something in the heart of man that wants fellowship. When God created Adam, remember all the animals were there and Adam was in charge of the garden. And God says, it is not good for Adam to live alone. I will make a helper for Adam. And so God creates Eve. And when Adam sees Eve, he says, wow. Wow, men. Woman in Hebrew is the female. Okay. And what does Adam say? She was made for me. People desire fellowship with each other. The picture with the church, I want you to think about this, because marriage is a picture of the church. You are here today. Why are you here? Are you here because you desire to have fellowship with God? Главным образом, брак – это является общение между мужем и женою. Но это картина церкви, которая показывает нам, что верующий человек должен желать и стремиться к общению с Господом, с Богом. Имеете ли вы это рвение души вашей, стремиться к общению с Богом? You see the picture, the parallel. If your relationship with Jesus Christ is wrong, if you're not looking for fellowship with Jesus Christ, I can guarantee you, you won't be looking for fellowship with your wife that is based on the Word of God. So in spite of the fact that marriages are breaking up, people want to enter into this relationship. There's a built-in desire for marriage. And what did God say? He says, it is good for man to be married. Man was created for the wife and the wife for the husband. And so it's a built-in. God created us that way. And so Eve was created to be a helper for Adam. She does this through her submission to her husband. How does the husband mutually submit to the wife? He does that with the love that he has for her. That is a parallel and is a picture of the love that Jesus has for his church. Now, how did Jesus love the church? We'll look at this next time in the next verse, but it says that he gave himself for the church. A lot of ladies don't want to submit to their husbands. But I want you to consider this fact. In the church, when we come into the church, we are accepting a proposal or a gift that somebody gives to us, do we not? Jesus Christ gives us eternal life. And once we are exposed to the truth of the Word of God, and God speaks to our heart, and He convicts us of our sin, and He offers us redemption and forgiveness from our sin, and justification, as we talked about in Bible Hour, and we accept it. Once we accept it, then we are obligated to live that way. Single ladies do not submit to anybody. But when a good-looking guy comes along and makes you a proposal, and you accept it, you accept it knowing that once you enter into the marriage relationship, that that relationship binds you to your husband and binds your husband to you. Remember when we talked about wives, it says, wives, submit to your very own personal husband. Wives, you only have one. Husbands, the same applies to you. You only have one wife. Jesus Christ only has one church. He gave himself for her. He was willing. Not only willing, but he actually gave his life for the church. And so we'll stop today and talk about our love, man. Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, describes love. Describes what love is and what love is not. In Galatians chapter 5, love is the very first fruit of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit produces in our life. And all the other manifestations of the fruit of the Holy Spirit are based on love. 1 Corinthians 13, you can have all of these things, but if you don't have love, love is the ingredient that goes into God's mixer bowl and mixes everything together in your life. Love is agape love. The Greek language has different words for love, but agape love is God's love, the way God loves us. And the way God loved us is not an emotional love. You know, guys, when we see a beautiful girl and we make a proposal to her, it's usually kind of emotional. When God saw us and He made the proposal for us or made His plans for us, when God sent His Son Jesus to die for us, when He chose us to be His bride, where were we and what was our condition? You know, it is said that a bride on her wedding day is the most beautiful bride in the world. No one was ever more beautiful. No one will ever be more beautiful to the guy that's marrying the girl that stands before the pastor there. You know, when Jesus chose us, what did we look like? Dirty, filthy, in sin. We were in rebellion against God. We were enemies of God. And God chose us. And he gave himself for us. A lot of guys say, I will love you and I will die for you. Well, that's one thing. You're enraptured with this beautiful lady. God loved us when we were not worth loving. And yet, he sent his son. And Jesus willingly gave his life for the church so that she would become his bride. You know, guys, when we come to our wedding day, those of you that have been married, we don't prepare our bride. She prepares herself. And she comes all dressed and beautiful and clean and looks good and beautiful and smells good. In our relationship with the church and Jesus Christ, Jesus prepares us to be worthy to be his bride. So there are similarities and there are differences between Jesus' relationship to his church and the husband and wife. But the goal and the standard and the calling, guys, this is our calling from God. Наше призвание от Бога любить наших жен, как сам Господь возлюбил церковь. You know what a calling is? A calling is what we call in English, we call it our profession, our career. It's what we've been called to do, and you give it all you got, just like Jesus did. Again, as a reminder, we'll pick up with this next Sunday. We're incapable of doing this. So guys, if you have a wife that you chose, that God gave to you, and if you realize your inability to love her like Jesus loves his church, where should that find you? It should find us on our knees before God, asking God for mercy, asking God for grace, asking God for the strength in the Holy Spirit to at least a little bit love our lives the way Jesus loves his church. So may God bless his word. Think on this, and we'll pick up with this next Lord's Day, God willing. Amen.